Welcome to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. My name is Andres, here with Daddy and Heather and
Amy. Yes, good job, dude. You did a great job, man. Excellent, man. You rock it all the time. Thank you. Yes, this is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission, and I am your host with no co-host, John McClain. And we have some great guests today with Pima Prevention Partnership, and then on our second guest will be Howard N. Stewart from AGM Container. So let's get this started. I'm really excited. Thank you, Amy and Heather, for being here on the show. How are you feeling today?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you for being on. So I'm going to get it started with a little quote, and then we're going to jump in with the questions here. So this is a quote that I just absolutely love. It is by Marianne Williamson. It's our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. You are playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. All right. So I just wanted to start with that. I just absolutely love that quote. And, you know, I'm just really grateful to have the two of you here in the studio with Pima Prevention Partnership. We have Heather Scott, who is a health educator, and Amy Tucker, who is an English teacher. And so welcome to the show. And just to get things started, I want to ask, you know, whichever one of you wants to answer this, is like, what is Pima Prevention Partnership?
Take it away, Amy.
Take it away, Amy.
Right? Yes. So Pima Prevention Partnership is a nonprofit organization that's been serving the community since 1992. And our main goal is to create change for members of the community, youth, families, you know, whoever we can service, you know, that's our goal, is we want to serve our community.
Excellent. So, Heather, tell me, like, you know, what inspired you to join Pima Prevention Partnership?
I am an educator. I taught school a million years ago, little first graders, and stayed home for quite a few years to raise my family. And then coming back, I wanted to do something different. I've always been drawn to young people, adolescents, middle schoolers. They're kind of the scary age range, I think, for a lot of people. But I was like, I can handle it. So yeah, I found this opening, and we get to go around and talk to lots of kids across Tucson. So I really like doing what I do, talking and helping and being, yeah, a product, I don't know, doing good things in Tucson. And I get to talk to great teachers and meet other people that are doing lots of good stuff with kids, like that's Amy over here.
Nice. Oh, yes, that's Amy. Awesome. Oh, how about you, Amy? Like, what inspired you to join?
Well, I've been a public educator in the community here for over 15 years. And, you know, our founder, Harry Kressler, I was friends with him. And, you know, over the course of a friendship and conversations with him, you know, I shared many of his same ideas about how we can serve the community here and education. And an opportunity came up for me to apply to work in the middle school. And I took the opportunity, and, you know, 10 years later, I'm still around.
Nice. That's awesome. And, you know, like, would you say PPP different from other schools? You know, compared to, like, you know, whether it's, you know, other high schools, or just, you know, public high schools, or you know, public schools, what would you say was the difference?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about the schools. We have a middle school and a high school here in Tucson, and then we have a high school in Phoenix. And the main focus of our schools is to really create a community within our schools.
Love it.
To make sure that students are appreciated, that they are able to flourish. And every day is a new day for them. And I think the thing that we offer is an environment, a very caring environment. It's small. So we don't have 1,000 students.
Nice. You know,
we're a much smaller school. And we're also really lucky to have Heather's part of the organization in the nonprofit part of the school's, of Pima Prevention Partnership and Youth and Family Services. And so they provide services to the kids as well as we teach. Mm. And so I think that we create a caring environment for young people and a smaller environment.
Yeah, I love that.
I definitely think like the smaller aspect of it goes a long way. You know, we're kind of in and out of a lot of these giant schools across Tucson, and we come back to our school and it's just a much smaller community. Like everybody knows everybody and we're all working together. Lots of adults involved in these young people's lives to really help them achieve greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one of the things we always say when we talk about, you know, who we are as a school and a part of the communities is it's really hard to fly under the radar at Pima Partnership. We take an interest in every kid and what kids' needs are. And if, you know, it can be academic, it can be social issues, it can be issues at home, something. We have resources to help young people and families as well.
That's great. And yeah, I love that, like you said, if when you have a community, it sounds like you have like a community there where everybody really cares and everybody knows everybody, which almost sounds like you have a family there, you know, and that's really powerful to hear that. And I'm sure that our listeners, I know there are some people out there that are probably looking for something like this. So, you know, like I know COVID has been a big thing and for a lot of schools, for a lot of organizations. So tell me, how has COVID impacted your organization?
Well, when the governor said that, you know, students that were in vulnerable youth needed to be in school, the superintendent in September of 2020 said, we're going to open to half capacity and we're going to see how many kids want to come. Mm-hmm. And we are going to also continue to provide the online environment on actually in real time lessons, teaching instruction. So, and we set up the school. You know, we followed the protocols. You know, we did the spacing. We put X's on the floor where kids can line up. We moved desks around. We had set up sanitation stations in the school. masks. We provided everything that the CDC and the state requires us to do. And we had a good solid, maybe, you know, about 40% of the students came back to school in person. Wow. And it was great. And, you know, we just did it. Kids were, they were fine with wearing a mask. We were able to have small little celebrations for kids outside. You know, when we finished the quarter, we had no issues, you know, where we had to shut down or anything like that. So that was great.
That's amazing.
So, and I found it to be, it was a challenge with the online at first, but you know, we were able to service the kids and we were able to be available for the kids from, you know, 8 to 3 every day. So
That's amazing. Yeah. And, that's amazing that the kids, it sounds like I said earlier, it sounds like it's like a family and kids wanted to come back. I mean, 40%, that's amazing. I've had some charter schools that like nobody came back. So that's really great. And so what we're going to do is we're going to continue with this great conversation with Amy and Heather. And we will be right back with more of this good stuff here. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We'll be right back.
Do you have some gently used clothes, furniture, or vehicles that you would like to donate to an organization that's helping connect our local veterans to housing, benefits, and the services they need to transition into civilian life? Then come to Veteran Thrift at 2241 North Oracle to donate your goods, time, to shop, or to take advantage of our free item program every Friday. Veteran Thrift, with your help, can get unhoused veterans the help they need.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to tucsoninternationalacademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
GAP Ministries is all about impacting one life because they believe that each and every person matters to God. They strive to build up each child they care for and each individual they serve. That is why we at Veteran Rescue Mission volunteer our time in their kitchen and warehouse every week. And we suggest you do too. Go to gapmin.com to get involved and donate to this blessed organization today.
Welcome to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission.
All right. Great job, man. Thank you. Thank you for being here, man. If you wouldn't be here, I don't think I could do this by myself. So thank you, Andres. All right. So, yeah, this is the Common Good Radio Show, and we are here with Pima Prevention Partnership with Heather Scott and Amy Tucker. We were talking about COVID a little bit and how it impacted their organization and how they got through it. And, you know, just a little bit about what they did. And, you know, just getting back to kind of like about COVID, like what changes did Pima Prevention Partnership have to make like during COVID? And how was that experience for the two of you, if you want to answer that, Heather?
Yeah, I raised my hand over here.
You're a teacher.
We, as health educators, I work in the youth and family services side of things, so separate from the school a little bit. We actually had to, we got to deliver some programming virtually, so we got to figure out all that, some new training, and we're experts at Zoom now, but a lot of the curriculum that we use, they had the developers, everyone was scrambling. I mean, not just here in Tucson locally, but like nationwide, worldwide. Mm-hmm. People were trying to figure out how we can still reach people where they're at, in their homes, wherever they need to be safe. And so, yeah, we got to teach some kids in virtually, I mean, smaller class sizes virtually, just logistically, but we didn't get into a lot of schools except for our local schools just because of restrictions and whatnot. But mm-hmm. hopefully, fingers crossed this coming year that things are a lot safer for everyone so that we can really get back in the classroom, because we can make the biggest difference in mm-hmm. the classroom with kids.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, how about yourself, Amy? How was that experience for you? Like, you know, just changing and, you know, was it a good experience? Well, I mean, I'm saying like good experience, but I mean, was it a learning experience?
Yeah.
What would you say?
It was a learning experience. Forced many of us Luddites to really engage in technology a little more. So that was good. It really created a teamwork atmosphere between all of us teachers. And like Heather was saying, I mean, we really had to rely on each other, whose expertise on how to reach kids and how to deliver instruction online, because much like, you know, around the world, everyone is trying to figure out how to do this and be, and student engagement. Student engagement's right. difficult in a classroom.
Right.
And it's even more difficult virtually. But, you know, I think one of the things that was good about the partnership is we knew all of the kids. You know, I didn't have a classroom where I didn't really know a student. I made it a point to get to know students, and I made it a point to make phone calls home and just establish a connection. And like I was saying, you know, there are many students didn't want to come in person. So we would set up like small little celebrations outside that were masked, and we invited students to come if they wanted to. And it was great because many of the students were like, oh, if it's going to be outside and we're going to wear masks, okay, we'll come. So that was fun. We had a good time with that.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and it sounds like PVP, they do a lot for the students to make sure that it sounds like they think about their students first, more than anything. And How has that been for you, for the two of you, to be in an organization that, you know, is really caring for their kids like that? Like, how has that been for the two of you?
Well, I just think keeping the doors open during all of this, like Amy was saying, from September, you know, like the doors have been open. We've been there. We've been that constant for those young people. They knew that we would be there every day. And even if we would notice if they weren't there. And I think that just makes a really big difference in this hard time of their lives, hard situation too, but just to know that there's going to be people that are missing them and the doors will be open when we do show up.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's something that's really important for kids, showing that you care, because when you don't show that you care, then that's when kids start to just fall off and not care themselves.
Right.
Well, the organization, that's our goal, is to care and to serve. And I know this may sound sort of silly, but many times when we do get, you know, overworked and stuff's going on and what decisions have to be made, you know, the first question, the first thing somebody always says is, all right, it's good for kids, man. We gotta remember our goal is what's going to be good for kids. And at the end of the day, getting into school is what's good for kids. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because they need that social interaction. If they don't have that, then it's definitely really challenging with isolation. And I gave a presentation for your school in regards to like mental health and mental illness. And I think that that's something that's really on the rise right now for youth, just being so isolated and just being on social media so much, a lot of bullying going on. And
And we're really lucky because of the organization itself. We have a tremendous amount of social and behavioral supports for kids. And we have people on campus for if a kid is, you know, struggling with anxiety of returning to the classroom or just in general struggling with life. We have people on campus.
That's great.
You know, in during the school day that can help kids.
I love that. That's awesome. And so tell me a little bit about, you know, some upcoming events or programs you have coming up that you would like to share with the audience to know about, or maybe some special programs in there that you, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So Amy wants to say.
I just want to say, because I need to say this, and then Heather can build on it, because, you know, school starts Thursday.
Yeah.
So if your parents haven't found a place kids to go.
One week
from today. You want a small school, please come by. Get a tour. All is welcome.
Nice.
And you can see the protocols we'll have in place too, as far as COVID.
Awesome.
6th through 12th grade. We've got two campuses.
That's right. On 25 North Drachman. Oh my gosh. I don't remember. Stone and Drachman. Yes.
In Youth and Family Services, we've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So we do a teen pregnancy prevention education. We go into schools and teach about healthy relationships and how to avoid risky sexual behaviors in an effort to reduce teen pregnancy and STD spread, because that's a really big problem. We do that. We come into schools. We actually... not quite his classroom, but we do that for middle school and high school kids all across Tucson. We have a newer grant that is through the governor's office. It's the Connect to Families program. And this is one that's all about substance misuse awareness for middle schoolers. So we teach about how to make good choices regarding substances. So one of the things is... Mind Matters is a program that we teach. It's a mindfulness training to handle stress and trauma, kind of to avoid getting started with substance misuse. We do a Guiding Good Choices as a parent and youth seminar to help strengthen bonds, because strong families, we know that strong families are going to help the kids have a stronger connection and not get involved with substances. We have a decision-making maze activity, Dicey Decisions. It's a really cool program that we're ready to roll out about the effects of drug use, marijuana use, tobacco, and alcohol use. It's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure type activity. I'm really excited to get that one going. And we also have some family nights and some school messaging that we want to deliver to youth and parents of those youth.
Wow.
So yeah, we've got a lot of stuff going on. We offer a lot of this stuff at our schools, of course. We also have mentoring programs that we're up and running, family strengthening programs. So a lot of services available to our community.
That's awesome.
I would get in trouble if I did not discuss PIMA Prevention or PIMA Partnership High School. PIMA Partnership High School is unique. It's in-person instruction. Teachers are there, but it's an accelerated program.
Okay.
So kids are able to finish in 3 years if they like, and they also have access to JTED programs.
Nice. Anybody
is, you know, or if you've got some credit recovery issues, you know, maybe didn't do so well or something. So
beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. This was amazing. And so this is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We will be right back.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to VeteranRescueMission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at VeteranRescueMission.org. North Star Hyperbaric is an alternative treatment center that uses hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, to deliver the benefits of 100% medical-grade oxygen under pressure to injured tissue, enhancing oxygen delivery 7 to 12 times normal. Dr. Carol Hendricks of North Star Hyperbaric is a practicing neurologist who specializes in the use of HBOT and pulsed electromagnetic field therapy to help heal her patients. Go to NorthStarHBOT.com today to schedule a consultation.
Hi, I'm Andres Ruiz, the co-host of Common Good Radio Show and the founder of community building organization I Believe in Myself. And I am offering a free rundown and consultation to the first 10 listeners to sign up for a private or group life coaching consultation at IBelieveInMyself.org. We all need good support to help us to take our life to the next level. So let me help you believe in yourself so that you can pursue your goals and dreams and ultimately find your life's purpose. Go to IBelieveInMyself.org today to sign up and get more information.
Welcome to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission.
All right, yes, that is my boy Andres, and this is the Common Good Radio Show. And on our second segment, we have an amazing guest that I met about a year and a half ago, and I was really inspired by the work that he does, and really does a lot of amazing things for the community. So we have here Mr. Howard N. Stewart, President and CEO of AGM Container Controls. Thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you, Andres. I'm really pleased and honored to be here today.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're honored to have you. So let's get into it. I want to ask you, for the and pretty much, you know, what are some of the major products that AGM Container Controls manufactures?
Yeah, we have probably about a dozen or so product lines, but the ones that stand out are our breather valves that in particular go on like missiles and engine containers, desiccators that in particular they protect the optic pods and the seeker guidance systems from moisture vapor on missiles.
Wow.
And then we also make wheelchair lifts for public facilities. And while we have quite a few throughout the community. The one that maybe a lot of people have seen is the one on 4th Avenue in front of Caruso's. Helping people with disabilities, get into that restaurant. So
nice.
They were able to get rid of their ramp.
Yeah. Nice. That's amazing, man. I appreciate that, what you're doing for those people. If you're not doing it, then who would be? So thanks for doing that.
Unfortunately, my competitors.
Your competitors? Yeah. True that. Yep. And I see that your company does business with Tucson's local Raytheon missile systems. As such, tell me about your company's involvement with Raytheon.
Okay. So Raytheon is our number one customer.
Okay.
And it's not particularly because they're right here in the same city, although I'm sure that helps.
Yeah.
Actually, we got involved with Raytheon way back in the 1950s something called the Falcon missile. And back in those days, they used to put the Falcon missiles in or at least predecessor missiles into steel containers that were strong enough that it could protect the missile inside from either pressure or vacuum changes when the missile was being driven over, say, a mountain range or was being flown somewhere or something. And so our valves basically enabled the military to ultimately make such containers out of aluminum and other sort of like softer metals.
Okay.
And which really has, that meant that they could decrease the size of the containers by about a third. The weight, both the bulk and the weight of the container by about a third. And so we've probably saved the military hundreds of millions of dollars in both transportation and logistics costs over the years.
Wow, that's amazing.
And maybe in the billions.
Oof, man, that's amazing stuff. That's great information. I'm learning new stuff today for sure. So how many employees do you have right now?
Right now we have 115 full-time equivalent.
Okay, excellent. And right now, like, what do you feel the you know, with the ups and downs in the economy, do you ever have to lay off employees or?
We have not had a layoff in 29 straight years.
Man.
And just to give you an idea of how challenging that is, back, I was listening to a radio show, like a business radio show back in 2008. And that year alone, 79% of businesses had a layoff just in 2008.
Wow.
So, and you can imagine with COVID and everything, it's been challenging. And frankly, even this last year, we had to you know, accept a situation where we had a couple more employees than we needed in certain areas. And we decided to do it, if nothing else, just to keep that record intact, but also to help those individuals because they wouldn't have another place to go. So
That's amazing. So yeah, and it just shows, you know, how much you care for your employees, you know.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So tell me more about your company's culture.
Well, actually, I just came from a luncheon with my employees. We hosted 29 of them who gave to United Way this last year at the corporate givers level. So in other words, we matched all of their gifts with to United Way with $340.
Okay.
A minimum of $340. And that's not the size of our overall campaign. Actually, 79% of our employees, so 80 plus, I think 88 were involved in this last year's campaign, but this was sort of the mid-tier group, and we took them to lunch to celebrate that. And during the lunch, I actually asked all of them, like, why did you give to what you gave to? Like, what, you know, what, not just what did you give to, but why did you do it? What made you do it? And we've actually been giving to United Way now for 51 consecutive years, and our campaigns raise over $100,000 a year for the last couple of years. So the size of our campaign in dollar terms matches, you know, much larger companies with 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 or more employees, just with our 115. So our employees are incredibly generous. And frankly, when they were responding to that question, like, why do they do it? A lot of them, they came basically out of poverty themselves right here in Tucson in most cases. And they see the need. They know the need. They experienced it firsthand. You know, they were hungry, you know. They were challenged, you know, with poverty.
Wow. So it sounds like your organization inspires them to not only be great employees, but also be very good human beings.
I think so. You know, I think we've got a lot of good people, and I think a lot of times that's what leadership is about. That's part of, you know, my role and the role of other key people at AGM is to kind of like, how do we make a difference? Not just, you know, frankly, what we're really making a difference for in our daily work is for the warfighter. You know, there's people, there's servicemen and women all over this, not just country, but all over this world, from Arctic environments to desert environments, who need our products, and they need them on time. And they need them with the right amount of quality because, frankly, their lives could be at stake without the products that we make. But beyond that, we try to encourage the employees to take an interest in the community. And we, for example, with United Way, we try and get them involved in the Days of Caring every year. In fact, we've been involved all 21 years since the inception of that program. But we get involved in a lot of other community organizations besides United Way. For example, I serve on the Jobs Committee for San Miguel High School in South Tucson, I know you know a lot about. I don't know how much your listeners know, but it's the only high school in all of Southern Arizona, at least all of Tucson, where every single graduate goes on to college. Works out through, it's basically a college preparatory school, and it accepts and it's time.
Yeah. No, this is great, man. I love this. Okay. This is really good stuff. We will be right back. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission here with Howard Stewart with AGM. We'll be right back.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to VeteranRescueMission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at VeteranRescueMission.org.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
This car care tip is brought to you by MPG Tire and Auto. Your vehicle's brake pads are the most important part for stopping your vehicle. The average lifespan of your vehicle's brake pads is between 2 to 3 years. Stop by any MPG Tire and Auto location and have your brakes inspected for free today. Replacing your tires can cost nearly $3,000 over the life of your vehicle. Or you buy a set of tires once, roll them into the Total Car Care Guaranteed for Life program, and that's it. Forever. Seriously, buy it once and never purchase it again. Offered exclusively at MPG Tire and Auto. See program rules for details.
Welcome to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission.
Yes, the Common Good Radio Show, and that is my boy, Andres, subbing in for John, who's not here today, so... We have a good sub here. we are also here with Howard Stewart, president and CEO of AGM Container Controls. Really excited. Man, we were really talking jamming right now. We were talking about some really good stuff that you have going on. And, you know, I love more to hear more about what you your company does. And just listening to you, I'm inspired, I'm motivated. And speaking of, you know, giving, I want to ask you about your college tuition reimbursement, program. So tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So when I came back to this company in 1989, I found out about the fact that we had a college tuition reimbursement program. I'd already been to college, but I was kind of shocked to find that, like, through the next several years, either nobody was involved with it or maybe one or two people. And I don't know. I feel like education has changed the trajectory of my life, and that's the thing. It's can just, you know, has that ability to move people, in particular, from, say, like, out of poverty to sometimes spectacular wealth, but also just allows them to pursue their passion at a much more useful level. So as I discovered what was kind of like keeping people from, like, they were resistant to going and getting education, I found myself increasingly in the role as a now AGM manager of kind of like changing the program. So suffice it to say that now last year in 2020, I think we only had 15% of our workforce involved in college education. And, you know, the reason it was that was that low was because a lot of people didn't want to go to school online, or they were just afraid to go to school in person or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, but actually in 2019, a record 27% of AGM's workforce went to college that year. And so, you know, numerically, that means that there were 34 employees who participated.
Nice.
And they took a total of 124 classes. So just under 4 classes, you know, per person. But the cool thing about it is that it is changing their lives. Like, it's helping them to become increasingly professional in their positions or positions to which they aspire. Yeah. And so, what do we do differently than most companies? Well, most companies just reimburse, like, A's at 100% and then B's at 75% and C's at 50%. And I have come to the conclusion that A's and B's students are equally successful pretty much at our company. So I reward both at 100%.
Nice.
And I've moved the C's up to 75% to keep people who might otherwise be resistant, you know, like, concerned about failing. But I also look at it at the time of their wage reviews. I look at each class. I look at the grade they received. I ask myself, you know, what is the relevance of this course? And I consider probably 80-85% are, like, fully relevant, so they're getting all of that. And then I look at the grade they received, I look at the course credit, you know, hours that they got, and I look at that separate from their performance. So it's like I do their performance first, and then I grab in the education. Mm. And the problem is, I think a lot of people don't go to college because, you know, who are already in the workforce, because it's just like that carrot is just too far away. In other words, oh yeah, if I, you know, do this, it'll take me 3, 4, 5 years. But at AGM, I'm sort of rewarding them along the way. So a lot of them, you know, dip their toe in the water, and next thing you know, they're like just swimming around and really enjoying themselves and making something of their lives.
Yeah, that's amazing that your company inspires them to do these amazing things, because I believe that we are supposed to learn more skills in life, and the more skills that we learn, the more valuable that we become. And
definitely,
I've heard from the great Earl Nightingale, old school personal development guy, said,
right,
our rewards are in exact proportion to the value that we bring to the world. So, you know, if you have more skills, you're obviously going to be a more valuable person.
Definitely.
And that's exactly what you're giving these people.
So yeah. And, you know, just like some people go like, well, that doesn't sound very affordable. And that's such a big expense. And it's like, not really. Like, I spent $50,000 on it in 2019. That was 0.2% of our shipments. I'm not really being that generous. I'm just, you know, I'm paying for this stuff. You know, frankly, a lot of them take, you know, go to school at Pima Community College, probably about 70% go there. And that's our Pima Community College is like this great value. It's, you know, got these flexible hours. And really every business, I think, pretty much could afford to be doing this. And the thing is that you're going to get back more than you give. In other words, you got to imagine, like, I'm like, 85% of these people are taking STEM-related courses, science, technology, engineering, math. So they're getting better at all those things. So they're making themselves more valuable, more promotable.
Yep.
In fact, the value of AGM stock has gone up by a factor of 21 times. So if it was amazing. A bad thing, that's, why are we doing so well?
Yeah.
You know? And then, of course, they're doing well, so they're a lot happier. We have far fewer issues with, you know, people leaving the company, like, you know, retention issues. Ours are, you know, running maybe half that of the general manufacturing community.
That's awesome. And it's a win-win-win for everybody right
there. It is a win for the employee. It's the win for the employer, and it's a win for our community. In fact, you know, so often Tucson gets looked over because we struggle on the education front, you know, like I think only probably maybe like 45% of our workforce ends up getting either a certificate or a bachelor's, a master's, an associate's degree, whatever. And, you know, these big companies with a lot of money, they want to go to communities that have just a lot more people with education. And so we get skipped over as a community because we're not investing in our own workforce. You know, it's the government makes it so easy to do this.
Yeah.
So.
That's great. Yeah. And you know, just kind of talking more about all this good stuff that you're doing, tell us about this program, the ESOP that you were talking about.
Sure. Yeah. So AGM's an ESOP. So we have an employee stock ownership plan. We also have a defined benefit pension plan. Both of these are great retirement vehicles for the employees. The defined benefit pension plan is federally insured, so, you know, even if the company went down, you know, we pay into an insurance pool so that the employees would still get their money. The ESOP, you know, that's more, a little more risky because it depends on the success or the failure of the company. But like I said, I've got employees who back in the mid-90s, you know, their shares were worth you know, only what 4 or 5% of what they're worth now. So they've seen this incredible value. Wow. We're actually getting at the point now where we're beginning to create a few millionaires in the company.
Amazing.
You know, of those who've been here, you know, with us a long time. And but basically, yeah, the employees, they work for the company for a couple of years. They meet, you know, certain criteria, and then they become employee owners. And then basically, you know, my job from there is to teach them how to think like employee owners so that they'll act like employee owners. And that's one of the reasons that I think AGM has been so successful is our employees, they're not just, it's not like you can just give them shares of stock. You've got to actually teach them so they know, you know, kind of like how the whole thing works and can become increasingly valuable to the company.
Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, a lot of companies, they just have employees. I've got employee owners.
Oof. Man.
So much more powerful.
Absolutely. So much more powerful. And and I'm pretty sure they're very happy with that. That's why they've been here. They've been there since 1990, because they're really benefiting not only from people that care for them, but also they're learning. They're learning skill sets in regards to money. They're learning skill sets in regards to college and just becoming a better person and a better human being as well.
Right, right. Yeah,
I love that.
You bet.
I love that. So what other sorts of positive impact does your business have on the Tucson community? I mean, you already told us a lot, but I mean, I just want to,
several of us serve in leadership, positions within the community, and I try to encourage employees to, get involved with the community, some way, like I said earlier, Days of Caring, but also like maybe becoming a coach for your kids' soccer, baseball team, or serving on boards. A lot of nonprofits, they need good leadership. And so, for example, I ended up, chairing in 2019, I chaired the Heart Ball, and it was a great opportunity. We ended up having 850 people at the event, and we raised about $565,000, I think, or something like that. But
man,
the cool thing was that the American Heart Association National then did some matching stuff, which basically turned into $1.8 million for heart research.
Ooh, man.
And since almost all that heart research is done right here in Tucson, like 95% of it,
had
a great economic impact right here. Another thing, I founded an organization called Fly Tucson First to try and help people in our community realize that when we fly out of our own airport, there's a lot of economic gain compared to those of us who, go out of the airport of our larger neighbor to the north, and trying to make people understand how our community gains and becomes wealthier if we support our own airport.
Wow.
So I'll give you an example. We lose about 1 million passenger seats to Phoenix every year. Last I heard, that was pre-COVID.
That's amazing.
And then you think about that. If we could have 1 million flying out of Tucson instead of having the 60 planes or so that at least pre-COVID were flying in out of Tucson International Airport, we could have 84. So we'd have an additional 24 planes. Well, think about it. It's like, okay, now you've got more, captains and stewards and stewardesses and maintenance crew and things like that. There's that sort of impact. There's all the shops that are in the airport that would be positively affected. Another thing is every time anybody from the East Coast flies to Arizona, they fly to Phoenix. They don't fly to Tucson.
Yeah.
So when they get there, where do they rent their car? Well, they rent it in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they get, where's their first hotel night or last hotel night?
Yeah, Phoenix,
and maybe all of them, Phoenix, Do they get to see Tucson? Not necessarily, They might choose to go up to Flagstaff or Sedona or, somewhere else. So,
wow. Yeah, this was amazing, man. Thank you for being here, Howard.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for having
me. Really good time. Yeah. That was Howard Stewart from AGM Container Controls, president and CEO. And
we're done?
Yes, we're done.
Aww.
And I know. Yeah. So this is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We will be seeing you next week. Have a great day.
This car care tip is brought to you by MPG Tire and Auto. Your vehicle's brake pads are the most important part for stopping your vehicle. The average lifespan of your vehicle's brake pads is between 2 to 3 years. Stop by any MPG Tire and Auto location and have your brakes inspected for free today. Replacing your tires can cost nearly $3,000 over the life of your vehicle. Or you buy a set of tires once, roll them into the Total Car Care Guaranteed for Life program, and that's it. Forever. Seriously, buy it once and never purchase it again. Offered exclusively at MPG Tire and Auto. See program rules for details.
Hello, KBOI listeners. This is Dr. Jennifer Herrera with the Making College Come True radio show, inviting you to join us every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. to speak with professionals, educators, and other members of our community to get tips on how to get into college and succeed in college, and also explore the possibilities of getting a college degree. Join us this and every week for Making College Come True radio show, where we can help you make college come true for yourself or someone you love.
At Ironwood Dental, their compassionate dentists pride themselves on quality care and patient comfort. Ironwood Dental stands behind the work they do, and they believe in building relationships with their patients and treating them with genuine care and respect. The doctors at Ironwood Dental can care for your whole family. They can perform a wide variety of dental services, ranging from orthodontics, sedation, implants, and pediatric care. Call Ironwood Dental at 888-2900 to speak with Nia or Kelly and get scheduled. Or visit their website at ironwooddentalaz.com to painlessly book your appointment online.